Georgetown, Brown, the University of Virginia, all schools that have been looking back at how they benefited from the international slave trade. No surprise that's led to some tough questions here and in schools beyond our borders. The first British university has now come out with a report about how much it benefited from slavery, Glasgow University in Scotland. The World's Rupa Shenoy has been following the story for us. Today she spoke with Professor Simon Newman, who is one of the co-authors of the report and was inspired to investigate by recent moves taken by American universities.
A lot of American universities have looked into their past following the first major one at Brown University. And it sounds like that was also a catalyst for your investigation.
Very much so. We were very interested in how American universities have been addressing this history of how they may or may not have benefited from racial slavery. And because the University of Glasgow has long been proud of its history of abolitionism and emancipation and support for the end of slavery, but was in a city which grew rich on the profits of slavery, we thought, well, there's probably a story to be told here too.
But you didn't know that going into it, did you?
No, but we did know. Every time I went to a graduation ceremony and the university students who were getting degrees walked up, the role of benefactors of the university was read out, and one of them was James Ewing, Jamaica merchant.
The name was of a slave trader?
Yes, and not just that. The University of Glasgow is one of the six ancient universities, the medieval universities in Britain, and it's the only one that's in a port city. And it's a port city that grew very wealthy on the profits from tobacco and then sugar and cotton. So a lot of money came into the city, and the university went from being a very small college to a major university at the same time. So it seemed sensible to think that some of that money probably made its way to the university.
So how'd you go about finding out?
It's a very complicated research process because although there are examples where it's very clear, so for example, Robert Cunningham Graham, who was a student at the university, had no money at all, but he made a fortune in Jamaica, came back to Scotland, was elected rector of the university by the students, and then gave a gift. He made his money from slavery, and it's obvious. So we can say that money he gave is directly related to slavery. But in many cases, it's much more indirect. It's, if a gift is was made to the university in 1870 to help build the new campus, well, where had that money come from? Did the father of the person who gave the money receive compensation when Britain compensated all slave owners when they abolished slavery in the Caribbean in the 1830s? Had the great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather made money in the tobacco trade and had some of that money come? So sometimes it's a very complicated story. And when we say, depending on the scale you use, it's anything from 16.6 million in today's money to 198.6 million. We're not necessarily saying all of the money came from slavery, but we're saying the profits of slavery are in there.
Why did you feel like it was important to come up with an estimate when a lot of universities have kind of avoided doing that kind of thing?
Well, we knew that in Britain we were breaking new ground and that it would be very important to explain why we thought this was a part of our history that we needed to talk about, but also to provide the evidence. And we thought that the dollars and cents, the pounds and shillings totals would actually really matter here, however imprecise they are, that it would show people, oh, this is something we can't ignore. This is actually quite a big thing.
Okay, and you're responding with your report with a restorative justice program. Can you describe what that entails?
Yes, we're going to increase our efforts to increase student and staff diversity to better reflect the diversity of the British population, but also the descendants of enslaved people, and that's primarily people of African descent, but not exclusively. There were South Asian people who were enslaved, and Britain profited from that as well. We're very excited about developing a very close relationship with the University of the West Indies in ways that will benefit their students and staff, but also, I suspect, will benefit ours too. So that will be a big thing coming out of this. The university will create a center for the study of slavery, both historical and present-day trafficking, acknowledging that this is not an institution that's disappeared. And then the campus itself, existing buildings which are connected, so the main building of the University of Glasgow, this fantastic Gothic building, the Gilbert Scott Building, is built on the site of a slave owner's house and was built in part by these gifts in the 1860s and 70s, many of which were connected to slavery. So we'll have signage to reflect that, and one of the new buildings that will be constructed in the next couple of years will be named for an enslaved person, possibly James McCune Smith, who was the first African-American to receive a medical degree, and he received it at Glasgow, but maybe someone else.
What has the response been like? Because in this country, Some people have responded to reports like this from American universities by saying, you know, we shouldn't be judging the past by today's morals.
It's a really difficult question, isn't it? But I think the very fact that even at the time these gifts were made, some people in the university were saying slavery is wrong. So we're not imposing our values from the present. We're looking back at them and saying the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing or didn't ask too many questions. And that may be one of the reasons we've forgotten this since.
But it doesn't sound like you found much evidence of them at the time acknowledging that contradiction.
No, I don't think so. I think it was such a part of the fabric of the city, the trade in tobacco, the trade in sugar, the trade in cotton. The men who made wealth became the major figures in the city, the major benefactors, setting up museums and charitable institutions. It would be hard to imagine a university at the time saying, we don't want your money.
What's the university's diversity like now among its students?
Increasing all the time. We have a long way to go because it was a very white student body when I arrived, but that is changing.
And what has been the response from the diverse student population? Because in this country, it has been seen as a really important issue, in mm-hmm. part because of things like Black Lives Matter, and then also
yes.
because of the ongoing issue of police shootings of black men. They thought it was also important at the same time to make the link from history to the present.
Yes. During this whole process of researching this history, we were working with the Black History Month Committee and with other committees and groups on campus, which included minority students. They were part of the process of creating this.
And do you hope that you're the beginning of a trend, that Glasgow is the beginning of universities in Britain looking at their past like this?
Yes, I do hope so. If universities can't do this, if we can't be honest about who we are and where we came from and how we want to be better going forward, then I'm not sure what institutions can.
Colonialism is also a big deal for Britain as well, right? So is there any plan to perhaps look at that history?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a vast subject. And coming from Glasgow, which proudly calls itself the second city of the empire, or has in the past called itself that, it's a very appropriate question. I think that does need to be done, but it's such a vast subject. How do we address that, and who addresses that? There is more and more research being done, more and more teaching in those areas, and as more and more global history is taught at places like Glasgow, I think this is the way forward and that there will be these kinds of investigations. But hopefully what we've done is a start for that.
Yeah, colonialism is another vast subject. Maybe that comes next. But dealing with slavery now is a start, as the professor said. That was The World's Rupa Shenoy speaking with Simon Newman, a professor at Glasgow University in Scotland, just starting to look at how that school benefited from the slave trade.